It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now, you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
From John verses 24 through 31, and as the brother prayed, boy, I tell you, God is a good God, and he's going to open up on tonight. So I solicit your anointing thoughts as we go forward. Start off with the scripture. I'll read the scriptures first for your hearing. I'll be coming 24 and 31, and I'll be reading from the NIV version. And it reads as such. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. 25. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he, Thomas, said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in it and put my fingers where the nails were, put my hand into his side, I will not believe." 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again. The doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." 27, then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." 29. Then Jesus told him the blessing for us. Now listen to this. "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Verse 30. Jesus did many miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But and 31 says, "But these were written that you may believe that Jesus is" what? "The Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And what I want to use for a topic on tonight, do you have faith for things you can see? Do you have faith for things you can see? Look, man, how many times have we heard this saying that seeing is believing? Just like Thomas, he had this. What about us that have not seen Jesus, but yet we believe in his death, birth, resurrection? But listen to this. Do we only have faith for the things we can see? What about the things we cannot see? Now catch this. In Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." And if I could expound on that, on that a little more, we listen at those words, those three words in that verse: faith, substance, and evidence. Let me share this with you. In this chapter, we deal, and when you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it talks about faith. Faith about Enoch, faith about Abraham. When you get a chance, faith about Abel. When you get a chance, read those things and let that get into your spirit. But let me share this with you. This chapter deals with the vision and the endurance of faith. It introduces men and women of the Old Testament. Now catch this, who had 20/20 spiritual vision. And catch this, and who endured tremendous suffering rather than to announce their faith. So in other words, these men and women, and just like us, we're going to endure shame and faith because of the gospel. Right. But we got faith. Amen?
Amen.
So it talks about that, and it's powerful. Because even the Bible says, without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God.
Impossible.
So we got to please him. So, and the Bible even talks about it in 2 Corinthians. And it talks about that in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. Walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. So walk means to live. And you got to have faith and belief that no matter what you're going through, God will see you through it. It goes on even verse one. It says, not really a formal definition. Rather, faith is a description of what faith does for us. It makes things, catch this, hoped for as real as if we were really, if we really had them. And it, now catch this, it proves the unshakable evidence that the things unseen, spiritual blessings of Christianity is absolutely certain and it is real. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, it brings the future with the present and makes the invisible. Faith is a confidence in the trustworthiness of God. It is a conviction that what God says is true and that we, that what his, what he promises will come to pass. So what I'm saying is this, if God said it, I believe it, we believe it, right? Whether anybody believes it or not, even his word, and we got to stand on his word. Amen. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Duh.
That we believe that. And it goes on to say, faith must have some revelation from God. Revelation means to uncover. When we read the word, God way of uncovering the word to us. And sometimes he gets those mysteries to us through his word. It goes on to say that some promises of God as his foundation. It is not a leap in the dark. We're leaping into nothing. We're going by faith. We're not going by chance. And it says it demands the surest evidence in the universe. That's that word evidence. In the universe, it finds it in the word of God. It is not limited to possibilities, but invades the realm of impossibility. Impossible. Amen?
Amen.
Does anybody have anything they want to add to already what I said?
Are you teaching good? Keep going, brother.
Oh, brother, here we go. Now we get into the passage of scripture. John tells us in John 20 and 24, in the scripture that was read for your hearing, it says, doubt turned to faith. It says, doubt turned to faith. 24, as I read, here's a little commentary about that. It says, should we not jump to conclusions that Thomas should be blamed for not being present? Nothing is said to indicate the reason for his absence. However, let me share this with you. I'm sure Thomas heard of the Lord's resurrection and was even told about it, but he wasn't going to believe it, right? He wasn't going to believe it because he had to see it for us. So in other words, he wasn't going to believe anyone. He had to see it just like people tell him something from the word of God, right? And you can tell them, but they ain't going to believe it until they see it. They are not going to believe it until they see it. I said before, seeing is what? Seeing is believing. You know, you can get in your car, you can see your car, you can believe that when you go out to that car, you can crank, right? But you can believe that you're gonna believe that when it comes to 15th and the 31st of March, you're gonna get paid. You're gonna believe that. But we gotta believe the word. Right. Now listen to this as I go further in this. It says, Thomas is to be, now this is what he's blamed for in verse 25. Thomas is blamed for, some of us have an unbelieving attitude. Mm-hmm. We don't believe in nothing. But then we have us that do believe and have faith. And it's a reward for believing in God. It goes on to say, this is his unbelieving attitude. He must have visible and tangible proof that the Lord's resurrection, or otherwise, he wasn't going to believe it. He was not going to believe it until he had to have tangible proof now. He had to have visible proof. That's how some people are. They got to have tangible and they got to have visible proof before they believe anything. And this is the attitude of many today. As we today, some of us need visible and tangible proof before anybody will believe in anything or believe that God was resurrected and on the third day he had what? All power in his hands. Right. Some people don't believe it. But let me take this a step further. Now listen to this. step further, it says, when the apostles or the prophet or even the pastor or the minister or even a person that has a faith, even a Christian, and it comes and tells us about a prophecy. But some of us had to have tangible proof before they believe it. Now, I'm going to raise my hand because I had to have tangible proof that I was going to be a minister. Even though I was prophesied to, I wasn't going to believe it until I saw it or saw it come to fruition.
Right.
And the lady stood right there. She did not even know me. Just like I'm looking at Brother Todd, she looked at me and said, I know. She looked at me and I didn't even know her. She said, your name's Clash, isn't it? And I just looked at her. I said, oh my God. She said, your name is Clash. And why are you clashing with God? You need to do what God told you to do. You done had visions and dreams of preaching and teaching in the pulpit, haven't you? Then I dropped to my knees. And then she told me, in the next breath, she told me, don't tarry too long. See, gentlemen, I want to say this to you. When God come and give you a prophecy and give you a word from the man of God, you ain't got all day to figure it out. You're going to have to go and move and do what God tell you to do. Even in the Bible, throughout the Bible and throughout time, people was prophesied to. The apostles, the prophetess, they were prophesied by the prophet. Because of their unbelief, now catch this, because of their unbelief, their disobedience, they suffered, and some even died. I'm going to give you an example. What about Ananias and Sapphira? When they had to go to the man of God, had put out a word out that he wanted everybody to bring all of their goods and all their service into the storehouse so that there would be enough services, enough meat and money and everything so that everybody could be served. Now here comes Ananias, right? He comes to the man of God. The man of God said, is that everything that you had? He said, yes. And he lied and he died and he fell dead. Because of his disobedience, he suffered even unto death. That's just an example. His wife came back 2 hours later and told the same lie and she fell dead. I don't want to pay that price to where if I'm told to do something by God, that I need to do it. Because the penalties of that, it could be death.
Right. Amen.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
When you were speaking of doubting and doubting Thomas, mm-hmm. is it some people's reason for doubting may be that they've been hurt by religion so much mm-hmm. that they lose faith or mm-hmm. doubt when someone of genuine heart comes and try to preach to them?
Yes. Yes, that's a good one. Yes, sir.
You can look at it this way too. Faith a lot of times is experiential. Your experience is what predicates your faith. Mm-hmm. And because you've experienced something a certain way, when somebody comes to tell you something contrary to your experience, we tend to rely on what we know and our experience. Right. Like right. Brother George was talking about, you know, it's, you know, you've been prophesied that you're going to preach. Even though you've had that dream, your experience is like, well, that ain't going to happen.
And
I need God to tell me, and he gonna have to show me. And a lot of times we're waiting on God to come off the throne when he sent the man or woman of God to give you a word. And then when you look at it, you know, when you talk about Enoch said the words, he said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And what he's saying there is when you allow your doubt to get into the way of God's will, you find yourself on the backside of a situation that you weren't prepared for. Right. And your experience can't get you out. You have to believe for the change. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with Gideon. Remember, he told Gideon to go out. Gideon said, if you really calling me, then you got to put this fleece on the ground and make the ground wet, but the fleece be dry. And God right. did it. And then he said, okay, well, then make the ground be dry and the fleece be wet. If there's really you, God, before he would go. Mm-hmm. And then when he went and did what he did, he said, well, because God has been great, I'm going to sacrifice the first thing that comes out of my house
right
unto God. And then his daughter came out. So you got to understand that your faith, you know, you got to look at it. Your experience can't override what God is saying, because a lot of time what God is saying is beyond your experience anyway.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. I was going to take it to the perspective of, especially for me, the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
A lot of times our faith, we compare it to miracles, and then that minimizes the things that it keeps us from seeing the smaller things, the smaller thing that God is doing consistently for us, because everybody wants the miracles. The miracle is the highlight of God working in our life. Right. When we don't get miracles consistently, we don't get miracles, but he's working and moving in our life consistently. But the focus is seemed to be on miracles so much that the stuff that he does daily, my faith should to always swing towards the things that God does for me daily, versus me waiting for the pot of gold, which is symbolic of a miracle. My faith should be leaning towards the thing he does for me daily,
right,
consistently, which is going to be on the smaller version,
right,
smaller scale than a miracle. And so when you interacting with guys or anyone who's doubting or questioning certain things, it's kind of like when you were saying, Glenn was mentioning Gideon, people want to see, hey, I don't believe he got to show me. When he done showed you, woke you up, you got a job, like you got so many other things that I could say, hey, my faith, I can see that he's with me, walking with me, because X, Y, Z versus just the X. I'm waiting for that big miracle for $1 million. He promised me $1 million. And so when we set our affections on things that's really not tangible and then ask God to move on it, we lose our gratitude for the stuff that we have daily.
So let me ask you this then, Todd, but not just Todd, the group. What about that person that says, if God is such a real God, and why is so much bad happening to me or this world? If this was true, then my faith has got me to this low point in my life.
Well, so you know what? That's a good question. And you look at it for this manner. When you're saying, okay, why is such bad happening? Why does God allow bad? Well, God tells us plainly that he gave us free will. He gave us the ability to choose. Remember, he said in the scripture, I placed before you life and death. Mm-hmm. And he tells us, choose life.
Right, right.
But we, because of our circumstances and experience, choose the death path.
Right.
And things begin to happen. And they said, well, if God is truly a good God, he wouldn't allow these things to happen. No, see, if he was a good God, he would allow them to happen, because if he went against his word and changed your will, then he would be a liar. Because then you wouldn't have free will. You would be predestined or predetermined. But because he gave us free will, there are consequences and circumstances for your actions. Now, why does he allow evil in the world? Evil came into the world by the sin of man. When Adam sinned, sin entered this world. And now what he did was, he says, okay, sin entered the world through Adam, not through Jesus Christ, because he hung and died on that cross. I have forgiven your sin. But you still got to walk this thing out.
Right.
You still have to experience what sin has caused. You are free from the judgment of it. You're not free from the consequences of it. And so that's when we look at it and say, well, God is always righteous. He's always sovereign. He does the right thing. But we made choices. And because we made choices, we have ended up with some circumstances that are detrimental to our life and what we want. But he's not to blame. We have to look into ourselves and see, what part did I play in manifestation of these things going on in my life? And when you look back, you truly see that he gave you a way of escape before you made that decision.
Right.
And that's what we have to be cognizant of. Remember in the man that was in the Bible that brought his son to the disciples while Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he brought him to the disciples to be healed. They say he's a lunatic. He falls into the fire. He falls into the water.
Right.
And the disciples couldn't heal him. And then Jesus came off the mountaintop. He said, this kind come not but by fasting and praying. He said, does you believe? The man said, I believe, Lord, yet help my unbelief. What he needed Jesus to do was help him to understand what he needed to do differently than what he was doing. a lot of the things we go through are roadmaps of what not to do in the future.
Right.
And if we use it as such, then we can navigate life by experience, and our faith is built by the experience that we have, because our experience teaches us and builds our faith. That's why every time the children of Israel got in trouble, God said, you should remember when I brought you out of this and when I brought you out of that. And if you remember when I brought you out of this and brought you out of that, when you get ready to go into something else, you know I got you. And when we hold on to those promises, then we find out that God has always been good to us. We just got to learn to be good to ourselves.
Right. That is so true.
My answer to that is if we walk and with no storms, with no darkness, with no rain, it would affect the fruit. It would affect how faithful, who's faithful. You know, if we never suffered anything, we would all be the same. It would be so hard for someone to determine who is who. The storms, our storms sharpen us and grows us and draws us closer to the cross. And so when I get asked that a lot, actually, one of the first questions most people ask. And so am I doing the work? If I ain't going through nothing, how likely am I to draw? I think those things necessary for us to even start looking for the path. Hey, God, where are you? Without those storms and the darkness, how many of us going to try to even find the path? Because it's a journey. We even got to get the unction to look for the paths towards righteousness. If it was all good, most of us wouldn't even consider the kingdom if it was all good all 24/7.
You know what you just said was so powerful though, Todd. And I want you to hear the revelation that I just got from. You said without the storms, without the things that we go through, without the rain, you know, and without the darkness, there would be nothing to look forward to. But let's look at it right here. Without rain, we enter into what's called a drought. A drought, nothing grows. When nothing grows, famine hits the land. Mm-hmm. When famine comes, death comes.
Right.
So without the storms to build up in our life, to go through some rain, to build the experience, we can't grow. We get stagnated. And when you get stagnant, you get sick. Because just like stagnant water, it gets pungent. When it gets pungent, it gets sour. When it gets sour, it gets bacteria built up and it's deadly. It's the same thing with our life. If we don't have something to push us past the point that we're in, we're going to get stagnant and we're going to die right there. So when we have these things happen in life, these storms come to push us through. And what George is saying is like when Thomas was sitting there, Thomas wasn't in the room with the rest of the disciples. Because remember when Jesus died and he hadn't appeared, Peter said, I go with fishing. Peter said, I'm going back to what I used to do.
Yeah, do what I do.
I'm going back to what I know to do. I'm going back to what's comfortable. And then Jesus appeared unto them and changed it while they were out fishing. He appeared unto them. And the same thing. So when Thomas comes in, Thomas said to Jesus, well, you go, when he was saying, I got to go to raise Lazarus, he said, well, we go to die with you. Because they sit the kid you have, I go to wake him. Thomas asked questions that were relative to his experience with Jesus. And when it came, but you understood every time he got chastised, he learned from it.
Right.
Because when Jesus told him, he says, thrust your hand here, put your hand here. He said, my Lord and my God.
Right.
His confession was that was beyond any interpretation, that I get it now. I can't turn from this because no matter what I said before, this is what I have to follow from now on.
Right. That's good, man. Woo. Man, that's good.
Yeah. You know, that is so true. You know, and just listening to everybody, it was saying, I can remember, you know, the things that I did to myself were self-inflicted. So now I'm in a place now because I'm not living right. And things that I've done to myself is self-inflicted. I had to come to God with humility. See, now I had to, God already knew, but he wanted to hear from me.
Right.
And he was the only one. It's not going to be people that's going to do that for you. It's going to be yourself coming to God, and you got to come with him, humility. And what Pastor Glenn was talking about, he does not force his will on you because he wants you to come he wants you to come freely. So that's why when God looks at your heart, what's in your heart flows what? The issues of life. Mm-hmm. And who gave us life was God. He gave us life to us. So therefore, we got to come with humility. So, and the thing that I remember on last week, when I believe it was Jerome asked the question, you know, how can somebody have faith in you if you don't have faith?
Right.
Because right. A lot of times you're the only Bible of the Word of God that they're going to ever see. So if your faith is shaken, if your faith is weary, how are they going to get to that place? You see, and see, I remember when I was going through those things and the people look at me and say, how's he going through that? And he's got a smile on his face. But I hear the word say, if I suffer for the sake of Christ, count all joy. But look at Job. Job said, what did Job say? Even though you slay me, and that's how we need to be. Do we only have faith when things are going good? What about when all hell broke breaking loose? That's when we really got to tap. Or we got a whole lot of faith when things are going great. You know, even in our marriages. You know, we got to think about that too. You know, lovey-dovey, we get those feelings with our wife, but what about when things are not going so good? We got to have faith and belief in the next situation. That's why it's different levels of faith that he takes us. Anybody else got anything?
That was good what you said, Joe. When Glenn was saying, Glenn mentioned the word stagnant. Yep. And I'm going to go on a limb and tie that to what George said. The stagnant comes from our comfort level in the rain versus our strength in the storms. If I revert right back to what's comfortable and normal for me in the storms, that's what makes us stagnant. We only grow when we bog down and hold on to our faith during the storms. If we haul-tail every time to back to our comfort zone, every time it get tough, we never progress on our walk. We'll come right back to where we were before the storm.
Right.
But his desire for us to draw near as possible. But every time it get tough, I roll back to the pool hall and give up. And he sees those things and he knows our heart.
Right.
So my heart's desire, even if I don't have answers during the storm, is to trust and believe that he's still with me. Because a lot of times, especially early in my walk, I felt like, man, I can't do this. This thing ain't for me. And then I started comparing other guys that I never knew they saw. Right. I never knew what storms they went through, but it just looked like they handled things better than I did. That's just the enemy. He's saying all this stuff. Hey, Prentice handled stuff way better than you. Drone handled stuff way better than you. And so I just give up. If you give up, then we could never reach our destination if we give up. Never.
Right.
But that could also work the other way around, where you run to God when you're going through stuff, and then when everything is okay, you don't run to him as hard as you do when you're going through things.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Great point, awesome. John. Great point. And that's awesome. The comfort level. The comfort level is just as so it's a balance. It's a fine balance. Because we can get so comfortable that we say, hey, I'm good, God. No, I ain't gonna pray this week. I ain't gonna do no next week. I get with you though. I see some stuff coming, then I get with you. That's why that dying to yourself and submission, those things are so important, because that's how we fight. That's how we fight being stagnant, and that's how we fight being so comfortable that we should never feel like we don't need him. If we feel like that, we should probably get on our knees or pray, stand up or something.
Right.
You know, and that's the whole purpose of Paul's thorn in the flesh that he talks about. Right. He said, though I speak with the tongues of angels and have knowledge of all things, and have seen mysteries above mysteries, given unto me a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I might not be exalted above measure. He means God didn't want him to get comfortable in his accomplishments.
Right.
A lot of us get comfortable in our accomplishments. And it's like that old saying, so you're so heavenly bound, you're no earthly good. Mm-hmm. That's when you show up church to look down your nose at everybody else.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and that's when God's word comes to no effect. He said your traditions, the things that you revert back to, the things that you practice over and over again, nullify my word in such a manner that I can't do no great miracles.
Right.
But it's not until you allow you go through something that you realize you're not as exalted as you think, because he that exalted shall be abased.
Right.
And so when you're going through something, it's like you're seeing that everything that's going through, and you say, okay, I'm good. Like Pa said, I'm good. I'm good over here. I don't need you right now. So, okay, here come a storm. Let me show you how much you actually do need me.
Right.
Let me turn some things up. But think about it. Jesus was on the boat asleep. And when they left, it was clear skies, sunny weather. But then the storm came. The disciples, everybody was cool until the storm came. Mm-hmm. And they went and woke him up and said, "Cares not that we perish?"
Right.
He said, "Where's your belief? Where's your faith? Oh, you little faith. Where's your faith? I'm right here in the boat with you. You should have faith in me, if nothing else."
Yeah.
And then he rebuked the winds, and then they looked at him all confused. What manner of man is this? You know, he's telling you, when you're with me, even in the midst of the storm, when things are going good, you with me. So when the storm hit, you just got to stay with me. You can't leave me when everything's going good, because the storm is going to come. Keep living.
Right. Jesus.
Yeah. Man. Hey, I want to make some comments about when we was talking earlier about somebody prophesying over us and
right
how we should respond. Mm-hmm. 1 Thessalonians 5:21.
Mm-hmm.
It tell us that we have to test every spirit.
Spirit,
you go.
I don't think we have to. As soon as somebody, I think there's a lot of people in the ministry because somebody done told them they should be a preacher and tried to prophesy over them. And I believe that we have to make sure that when somebody prophesy over you, you go to prayer. You go to prayer.
Oh, yeah.
You ask God through your spirit that you should have already the Holy Spirit to teach you what that means. And make sure that it's validated through your spirit and you testing it. You're not despising the prophetic word, but you want to validate that prophetic word through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Absolutely. Let me tell you what I do, Jerome. Somebody give me a prophecy. I write it down. I write it down and I date it.
Good.
And and that way, when it comes to pass, I can reach back and tell them. And I ain't gonna lie. I'm like George. Matter of fact, the preacher that came to me, that man was preaching one night, said, "You gonna be a preacher?" I told him in church, "You a so-and-so lie. Ain't no way I'm preaching nobody." Fast forward 20 years later, what I'm doing. But you know, and it's just you got to understand it's exactly what you said, Jerome. You test the spirit by the spirit,
right?
And during the biblical time, prophets were tested. They didn't just get the title prophet because they had a dream and they got a dream right. They were tested, and if they were found to be false prophets, they were put to death,
right?
So, and they did, they tested it by the spirit. So when you see that, when somebody gives you a prophecy, write it down. The prophecy is going to confirm what is already in you.
Yeah, you go.
Because God's already spoken it.
Amen.
Your spirit is going to leap because it's already being spoken to. And then God is going to come and confirm it by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses shall all things be established.
Right.
And then after you get those 2 or 3 witnesses and you look through the word will speak it to you and will not lie. So when you get prophecy, write it down. Wait on God to confirm it. You don't run with it, because when you run, you make a mess.
Right, correct.
Mm-hmm. George and Glenn, I know you got another. I just want to ask this real quick. Before you guys got to the ministry, how many times were you prophesied on it? How many times did you hear that from someone? More than once or just once? I'm just really curious.
More than once.
Yeah, more than once.
Okay.
Now I'm going to share this with you, and when you said that, it brought back to my spirit. There was 2 ladies that was in my Now in my neighborhood. One, I know her name was Miss Ada Vaughn, right? And it just like yesterday, Miss McCullough, right? We call it. Now, I wasn't even in the faith. I was just a teenager in high school. You're gonna be preaching, right? So I ain't think nothing of it because I'm in the word. Amen. Now I got prophesied too, but I had to. You know, I had to believe it, but when that prophet prophesied to me, Prophet Elliot prophesied to me, I had already was going through that with God, with dreams, and I was actually ministering, you know, at the hospital. I was already given the word. So when that came, it was just confirmation, just like Glenn was saying. But a lot of times, and Jerome brought up a good point too, I can remember one time I got prophesied to, I was in the church. And the lady told me, I want you to run around the church 7 times. And my spirit got quickened and I stopped dead right. I ain't even move. I did not move. My it you go like you always hear that you try the spirit what? By the spirit. By the
spirit.
So and I'm telling you, it was just like instantly I was stopped dead and did not move because it was like she was speaking, it wasn't the truth. Mm-hmm. You notice and everybody was in, nobody moved. That's what. And Jerome, that was a good point you brought out too.
Amen.
Yeah, Todd, I know you asked him about how many times would he talk to, but you know when God has a plan for you, you can't outrun him.
Oh, definitely.
You the fastest man on earth, but you ain't outrunning God.
No,
no, sir.
So he will break you down like a $2 shotgun.
Sure did.
To build you back up, and a lot of times. Because when that happens, we can get short-term. You ever get a blessing and get short-term memory?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Amen.
You know, is the you got your blessing over here in one hand and you word over here in the other.
Right.
And that happens. It happens to all of us sometimes.
Right.
You know, we get short-term memory.
Right.
And at the same time, Todd mentioned the storms and we was talking along that line of the storms. You know, when you... That short-term memory seems to come back when we get in that storm, don't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because you have to reach back and get, well, man, I was on my knees over here for this, and he walked me through this with no... And sometimes we have to get, how I said, we got to rebuild that short-term memory.
Right.
Look at that poem, Footprints. That dude said that he go through that poem the whole time thinking he's by himself. Right. And when he confronts God, he is chastising God. You said you would never leave me. But at my lowest point, there's only one set of footprints. You left me. And he said, no, those were the times I carried you. There are times we got to look back through our life and know there was no possible way your strength got you to what you came to. You ain't did none of that. That was all him.
Right.
You know, I look back going through my life and going through the things I went with the headaches and not knowing if I was even going to wake up the next morning. I didn't get through that with my strength. My strength didn't get me through any of that. My faith wavered. I didn't know what it was about. I'm thinking I'm getting ready to die. And I'm like, all I'm trying to do is live right. And I'm about to die. And I always said that to that point, and I've not lived a happy life. If you looked on there, I could not have said that I was happy going through what I was going through.
Right.
But then I found joy in him in a different way. And even when I go through some things where I'm not happy, my joy still remains. Mm-hmm. But it's now because of experience that now my experience lets me know you're going to go through something. On this side, Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He's saying that I've already overcome every obstacle that you're going to face. You just got to trust me on this journey. Right. And like Prentice was just saying, we get short-term memory when we are on top of the world. Mm-hmm. But as soon as that storm hit, then your memory goes back. Well, he brought you through this one time before. You got to hold on to what brought you through the first time and not forget about it. And then you have a responsibility with coming out. All of us who have come out of something have a responsibility. Because you're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony. Nothing you go through is for you. Not a thing.
Amen.
You experience nothing that's for you. Everything you go through is for the person you're going to run into that you're going to have to help along the way. That God is going to use you to help pull them through.
As we talk about this, and I say you get short-term memory, I can tell you just a short 3 years ago now, maybe, that I'm born and raised in South Carolina.
Right.
Prosperity, Newberry, South Carolina, born and raised. Never been to California in my life. That's on the other side of the United States. Never been. I got an opportunity to go for my job. Out of all the places I picked to stay, I'm thinking I'm staying downtown San Diego, close to where I'm supposed to where I'm supposed to be at. Man, I'm all the way out by, I can walk out of my hotel in 5 minutes, I'm crossing the Mexican border. I'm as further on the other side of the coast as you can get to United States. I'm at a hotel right on close by the border that if I walk over, I'm in Mexico.
Right.
I'm on the other side of the United States. I'm in a hotel that the sketchy hotel. Mm-hmm. Right? Y'all, I'm sick. I'm by myself. Right. I have no transportation. I have to call an Uber to get where I got to go.
Right.
I'm in the hotel room. I got heart palpitations. I'm sweating. I'm sitting over here going, God, why are you going to let me die with him by myself? I'm on the other side of the world. No family. No nothing. And I'm sick. Mm-hmm. I can barely get out of bed to walk down to the store to get something to get water. Mm-hmm. And the only thing you can do is listen to God tell you. Mm-hmm. Because during this time, I was going through all this other stuff in my life. Some of the stuff that was compounding and coming through. Only thing you can do is listen to God tell you, mm-hmm. I got you.
Right.
You here for a reason. To right. show you that you can't do nothing else
right.
but rely on me right now. You can't call your wife to come get you. Mm-hmm. You can't call nobody to come take care of you. Mm-hmm. The only person you can call on is me.
Blind faith. Blind.
Is me. And you have to understand that I got you. Right. And I'm going to carry you through this. From the other side of and that's the point. When I say you strictly alone, ain't yeah. nobody but you right. and God.
Amen.
You oh. and God. And he will walk you through that. And see, when I mentioned short-term memory, because yeah. there's been many instances, and not only in my life, and I'm pretty sure several people's lives also, that God done walk you through things. You look now, and if you think about it, you shouldn't be here.
Right. Jesus.
You shouldn't be in the position you in.
Right.
Some of us, like me, shouldn't be taking a breath right now. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be here. But there's a message and a life and a testimony that you still got to preach.
Right.
Come on now.
That you still got to encourage somebody with. Jesus. That you still got to bring somebody to the truth.
Right.
That you understand today.
Right.
Come on now.
As we sit here on this Zoom call.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Been through all of them.
Mm. I want to jump in there. You know, I think it's so significant what Prentice is saying, and he talked about being on the other side of the world. Mm. But I think the reality is what Prentice is saying is, I don't think it matter where you are.
Right.
I think we should have that attitude every day, every minute of the day.
Right. That's so true.
We got to get in our minds, and the way we're going to help others is to help them to understand that he is the only way. And when we get self-reliance, it's when we get out of the will of God.
Yes,
come right. on now. That's you preaching right now.
Yes, right.
So that's what I'm saying. When Prentice brought that up, man, it touched me because I've been there and done that as well.
Right.
But now, man, I'm telling you, I wish I can break it down to you how I'm feeling right now, because the more I read the word, the more I understand that all God wants us to do is to depend on him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He wants us to give it up to him.
Right.
In every situation, we need to wake up in the morning and the first thing we do is thank him for being alive.
Come on now.
So I'm just saying that it shouldn't have to be that when we get to the point that Prentice is at, and then we realize that God got us.
Mm-hmm.
He got us all the time. All the time.
You know, and Jerome, what you just said is, come unto me, all your burden heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Whenever we trust in God in the midst of what we're going through, that rest of God is what we're wanting anyway, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Amen. When you look at it, so whatever you're going through, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are honest, whatever things are good report, think on these things, and the God of peace will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. And, you know, and that's the thing that we have to focus on. We have to get our mindset that when we're going through, we have to give it to God. all the time. We cannot carry any of this.
Right.
Jesus says, and the word said that he is the author and finisher of our faith. That means he knew our beginning and our ending. But we have to allow him to walk through what we're going through so that we can get to the other side in him. He tells us again in Jeremiah 29 and 11, I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts are good and not evil. Thoughts to prosper you and bring you to an expected end. When you're going through hell, I know that you're going to go through hell, but that ain't what I planned for your life. I plan to bring you to an expected end, but you're going to have to suffer the consequences of what decisions you made. But when you come to realization that the decision you made was outside of my will and you give it to me, right, I'm going to make your consequences short.
Right.
It's like being a kid. You know you do something to be on punishment, and you get 2 weeks, but then after a week, your parent come to you and say, okay, you good. You suffered enough because you're back where you're supposed to be. And that's how God does.
Yeah.
I got a question, and this probably will help someone that's watching. I'm trying to make sure I word it right. On this journey we all are on, is it possible that our faith is sufficient or grows unintentionally? Meaning, like, I know for me, what steered me down on this journey is that I heard the voice for a while. I wasn't putting no study time. I wasn't doing none of that. I was going to church. I was living in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and I was coming home. When I would come home, the churches, you know, they do altar calls. And I did, that happened to me about 3 or 4 times. I was wilding. I was doing all kinds of stuff. And I had that, when they do the altar call, I would sit back, right? Mm-hmm. I would sit back. Like,
right. Right.
On purpose, sit back. And the voice would say, go. Go. So my question is, were anybody like felt like they was at a good place with their faith before they started the journey? Because I know for me personally, when I compare where I'm at now, it was a mustard seed. It was a mustard seed, maybe a little bit bigger than a mustard seed. So my question is, how you guys feel like that'll impact your walk, your start to this process, to the journey?
I would like to jump in on that if everybody don't mind. I would like to start at least. For me, I always had a form of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I do say form of faith. I believed in God, but I didn't believe in living by God's word.
So
I'm going to be honest, and I may be looking at this wrong, George, and all you guys that scholars. Mm-hmm. I didn't want this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want this, but it was like a nag. It was like a toothache that kept calling. And I lived a good life, man. If I leave here today, I lived a good life and God done blessed me, but I done some things. But it was like all the things that I done, all the people that I hurt was drawing me for this moment in life. And it's like, I still was fighting it. Like, hey, why me? I don't know. Hey, leave me alone. But it was always something that was drawing me back to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I still fight it to this day. I'm not going to sit on Zoom because we're going live and act like, you know, I got it. I don't.
Right.
It's an everyday walk. It's an everyday trying to read this word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. So I'm just saying to everybody, man, I'm being honest about it.
Right.
And I didn't want this for my life, but I thank God that he wanted me.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You know,
he chose me. I didn't choose him.
Yeah.
And somewhere in Romans, it says that he said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. Yeah, I chose you. And I'm telling you guys, that's true. He chose me.
Right.
I liked it, you know, having a little fun and doing some things. And but then when those things started becoming guilty to when I started doing it, then I knew that I was heading down a different path.
Right.
And that path just kept calling me and it kept calling me till I just got docile to it. And I just started saying, whoa, I started relinquishing. Okay. You're not going to leave me alone till I get it right. So I might as well start coming. Because that's how God is. If you want to hear us, he won't let you go. You can't. Who are you to turn God away?
Right.
Who are you to turn God away?
Right.
So when he wants you, I know everybody going to be saying, well, we got a free will to make that choice. But what I'm saying is that's true. But I'm saying is it's something inside, and I can't explain it.
Right.
But it takes over your free will. It's calling you.
Yes.
It's calling and it's calling and it's calling, and then you come.
Conviction.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's better guys out there, better scholars out there than me that can explain it better than I. But I'm just telling you what I felt and what I went through.
You're absolutely correct.
You know, when you look at it from a standpoint of, we all lived a life prior to us taking this journey and walk. Everybody done did something, and like Jerome said, when we was out there doing it, we felt we was good at what we was doing. But in each one of us, God chose a time to call us and say, hey, tap you on the shoulder. It's time for you to come on over to the right side.
Right. Well said.
And I mean, that's what I get from it when you said, Jerome. That's what it boils down to. We all did what we had to do, but when it was time, God tapped us on the shoulder and said, hey, come on home. And when we came home, things went from being sporadic to organized, and now we're at a point in life where we don't let little things bother us. Whereas back in the other days, the slightest little thing, oh man, I got a flat tire. This is bull. We cussing and carrying on. You get a flat tire now, it's like, okay, big deal. Change, get a donut, go up there, get another tire. Our mindset changed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it bought. Your mindset, the way you think, where you carry yourself, the way you do things, where you go about your everyday life changes dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Once God takes over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to say this to all the people out there that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are struggling and may have given up on God. And even if you have, God have not given up on you.
Amen. Amen.
And I can say that from a man that's been there. You know, a lot of Christians want to act like they got it. We've been there. We got this thing. We got this thing whipped when we good. We got it all down.
No, sir.
But I'm saying this to everybody that may be hearing my voice today. Even when you think you got it, you don't fully have it.
No, you don't.
Right. Bruh, Friday, I had a dude threaten to kill me because over some rims. And I'm telling you, we were going toe to toe. And he said some things, and I said some things. I'll tell you right now, I tell people all the time, every day I don't feel like being no Christian. Some days I want to be the old me. And when you push that button, you might have to deal with the old me. You know, ordained, fire baptized, Holy Ghost filled, speaking in tongues, prophesying. But if you get me twisted, you got to deal with that dude.
That's right.
And that's the real of it. A lot of us get behind these rows and behind these cars. I remember I was in the jailhouse and dude told me, man, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what it's like to be in here, man. I took the call off and said, bro, I was in that cell over there. That cell right there. That was the cell I was in. And I said, I know what it's like when you're doing what you're doing, man, and you get caught up. So don't tell me I don't know. I'm in here because I'm telling you that you can make it out of this hole and do good in your life. And Jerome, I'm with you. I didn't want this. I'm to George. I ran like it wasn't nobody's business. I'm like, nah, preach. I ain't preaching for nobody.
Right.
But God, when he, and like Jerome said, that thing, that Holy Spirit, because see, the Holy Spirit is in you. He's alive. The Bible said that God breathed into you the spirit of life. So then Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will come and teach you all things that I have told you. So what the Holy Spirit does is come remind you of what it's like with Christ.
Right.
Because he knows what it's like to be with Christ. He was there at the beginning when you were made in his image and after his likeness. So when the Holy Spirit begins to speak with you, you don't recognize him because you don't have a relationship with him.
Correct.
Y'all,
that's right.
Y'all are strangers at that point. But the more he talks to you, the more familiar you get with his voice. And when you decide to become friends with him and let him into your life, that's when he begins to straighten things out. Are you going to get it right every day? Not a chance. As long as you on this life breathing and God has not called you home, you are going to face something that's going to try to test who you say you are. And that's all the devil does. He doesn't test you with things that are easy. He tests you with things that you like.
Yes.
And he tests what you say.
you know, remember that movie, Vampire in Brooklyn? I think Eddie Murphy was preaching.
Yeah.
And he was preaching at the vampire. And he said, sin is good.
Yeah.
And the whole church changed. Sin is good.
Yeah.
We did not sin because we didn't like it. We sinned because we like it. And we was, I'm going to tell you right now, I was in love with it. I like who I was.
I mean, everybody did, Glenn.
Come on now.
Everybody did. I mean, that's why who we were. But I mean, like I said, at some point, we all had that epiphany.
Yeah.
It's time to come home.
Mm-hmm.
To piggyback off what Jerome and Glenn said, man, when on this journey can be defined as whatever you were will be highlighted on this journey. Like Glenn said, we can hide behind who we were.
Mm-hmm.
A genuine walk with Christ will highlight all of your flaws. I'm talking about highlight.
Right.
A genuine walk. Now, when people are hiding is what it is. But when you genuine and when you seeking him in your relationship, he's going to speak and that's not right.
Right.
That's not of me. That got to go. He talked to me like that. That got to go. Like he talked Newberry talk to me. He told Newberry talk to me. That got to go, Tuck. That's not of me. Like if you say you want heaven, this got to go. And so that's I'm glad you guys went there, man, because that's for anybody listening, that's very important, man. You got to be real with who you are. If you got anything about you that's fluff and fake, it will always come to light. It would always
come.
Let me add this right quick. You know, I think everybody that's out there trying to get right, find them a good supporting cast.
Right.
Houston Knights, I got the best supporting cast for me.
Man.
Prentice Brooks, man. You can't beat a guy like Prentice Brooks.
No son.
Josh, Rick, Jonathan, Dirty Bird, Todd. You know, you other two guys on here, I don't really know you. But these guys, man, I've been on here since May. It bring tears to my eye. I'm a better man right now because I know I got a supporting cast. I got guys that I can talk to on Tuesday nights. If I'm still messing up, they're going to remind me where I need to be.
Right.
That's all we are doing, man. We just helping each other. We iron sharpen iron. Right. That's what we're doing. Iron sharpens iron. So I'm telling everybody right now, get a supporting cast. It don't even have to be every step of the way on Tuesday nights.
Right.
Find you somebody that you know going to talk to you about what thus says the Lord, and they're going to be a good ear for you to do the right things. And if you can find that legitimacy from someone, hey, you grab a hold of that and you let that be the person you bounce off of. And it's going to help you because I got these guys every Tuesday night. And it wouldn't be for these guys, I don't move to Baltimore. Man, if it wouldn't be for these guys, I don't make this journey. I don't stay on this journey without you guys. I can promise you that. So I just sit here and act like I got it. Man, I'm so humble about my life now. I'm so humble about where I'm at with God. It is not for everybody to believe it. It's for me and my God to believe it. I know I'm humble. He'll humble you down, and you know you got to stay humble. But every time I puff up a little bit, he knocks me right back down to let me know, hey, you're not there yet. You got some more work.
Every time.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and that's the thing about God, man. He gives you what you need, not what you want.
Amen.
He said that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And what people translate that to mean, it's the things that you want. But if you seek God first and his righteousness, your mindset will change to seek after the things that he wants for your life, not what you want. And then those things that he wants for your life will be added to you. You know, we get twisted because we want stuff. When you talk about the prodigal son, he went to his daddy, said, give me the portion of good that followed me and let me go and live. But, you know, we often miss the story of the other son that stayed. And what's so significant is that he stayed in the faith, that when the other son came back from living a riotous life, that he lost his faith when his daddy threw a party for the younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked him, said, I've been with you this whole time, and not one time did you ever treat me as good as you treated the person that told you, basically, I wish you were dead.
Right.
And he said, everything that I have, everything I got right now is yours. The reward is yours, but you need to rejoice now that somebody else figured it out
what you've right. already known.
Right.
Right. Oh, that's good. That's good, right. man.
You know, then right. so go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you know, just like Jesus was talking about the parable of the sheep when he was talking to his disciples, he says, would not the go after yes. the one lost
one?
One.
Mm-hmm.
That one.
The one lost sheep. You know, and it's the same thing with God is if you are lost and you find your way to the pack, you are celebrated. Right? Isn't it the sick that need the need the doctor?
Physician.
That's you're right.
Right. If you well, if you already there, you're already well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the sick that need me. Why do you go to the house of the prostitutes and the tax collectors? They are the sick. You can't preach to yourself all day long and the people that's sitting right there that believing with you. What good is the God's word you preaching to yourselves and not God's word is not meant to be kept on the length.
Right.
Right.
Right. It is to go out. Mm. And in order to do that, you know, we have to preach it. We have to believe it. There's one thing I love about this group is that we're not preaching religion.
Relationship.
So many times people preach religion.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about religion. It's about the love of God.
Amen. Right? Amen.
Once you get the love of God, that's when everything else is going to fall. Because there's nothing else to believe.
Right, right.
Because what God's word says is God's word.
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
That's it. It's the love of God that we need to fall in love with.
Mm-hmm.
Not, and no disrespect to my minister friends on here, not the man standing in the pulpit with the nice robe and
right.
very gracefully and, right. and has right. the smoothness and the wealth of knowledge of the Bible and the scriptures. Even demons believe and shudder.
That's right.
It's the love of the master. It's the love of God himself. It's where so many times people get led astray because they're not listening to the shepherd's voice.
Right.
They listen to all the other chatter that's going on mm-hmm. the side. So right. you just need to fall in love with God first and everything else will come along.
Boy, that's a home run there, buddy.
Yeah.
Put that stuff for me in the fridge.
You know right. what
I'm talking about? That's good,
man. I wanna throw these guys under the bus. I'm gonna do something that
it's my time.
You call
it my time. Get your time out ready, fellas.
What I'm gonna do right now, I wanna offer live to Facebook that if anybody out there is going through something, I want you to call Todd. I want you to call Prentice, Glenn, George, Rick, Got Good Advice, Dirty Bird, and Josh. I'm reaching out to people that needs help, that needs good people, because these guys have been there for me. I'm not telling you to call Jerome. I'm telling you to call the other brothers that I have that I go to. My go-to guys are these guys right here. If you don't know how to contact one of these guys, get in touch with Todd. He will make sure you get to talk to one of these guys. We are putting ourselves out there for you to let you know that, hey, you're not alone. Right. You don't have to go through nothing alone. The Every Step of the Way Bible Group is here for you. We don't hear on Tuesdays, but I guarantee you call any one of these guys any day of the week, they'll be glad to help you through whatever you're going through. I can promise you that. And I know these guys, I'm putting guys out there like that.
Put them on the spot.
I know they don't mind. These are the type of guys that I'm involved with. I love them. They are awesome people. You cannot go wrong dealing with any guy that you see on the screen tonight.
Man, I like that. I like that, Jay. I really
you know what else too, Jerome? You need to put in there. We don't judge.
Amen. No. Amen. We
do not judge.
Right. Amen. And amen. We can't we can't afford to. I know I can't. I can't judge. I don't know nobody. No, I can point the finger and say nothing. First thing they're gonna say, big five. I sit down.
Well, you know as well as I do, man. People they hear stuff like this and they be like, man, you got some people out there think negative. Hey, well, I called them, they're gonna judge. No, that ain't what we're about.
Amen.
We don't judge. we trying to help uplift one another.
Right, right, right. Yeah, man, that was that.
Amen,
was
guys. Amen. Thank y'all. Thank you for the backup, Rick.
I just want to help somebody out there tonight. I am a minister, a reverend. I preach. I know God's word, but I have struggles.
Yes.
I'm a single man. I have struggles, and like Jerome said, you call him, get the number from Todd. Hey, look, I'm transparent. Transparent. I'm raw. This is raw.
Amen.
Rick will tell you that. Everybody. I have humility, and I'm just, and look, we all struggle and go through things.
Amen.
Exactly.
But if it had not been for God on our side, where would we be?
Amen.
But God. Hey, man, anybody got anything else before we do our takeaways like 9:20? This has been a really, really good night tonight, man. The energy has been really high. Love that. Nobody got nothing. Josh, give me some takeaways, bro.
Oh, man. First off, man, I know we say it all the time, man. I love you guys, man. From the bottom of my heart, I do. But my takeaway from the night is something that I told y'all at the beginning of the year when we get taught what we're gonna work on throughout the year is allowing the Holy Ghost to help me, to carry me when I need it. And I think that tonight really spoke to that. And I was thinking about 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. And basically, to me, it sums up tonight what you talked about, Brother Jordan. Says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Right.
And I mean, basically, that's telling us that this worldly stuff that we, you know, we value so much, it's temporary. And, you know, the Lord and his glory, that's eternal. And that's what we need to strive for every single day, like Jerome said.
Amen.
Amen.
All I got.
Good job, Brother Josh. Love you, man. Love you.
Thank you.
Jonathan, Brother Jonathan.
Yeah, I want to thank Mr. George for that word. I want to thank you guys for everything y'all have spoken to me and in this group in general. But what I learned from tonight is I've been through a lot of ups and downs in my life. Some days I'll be like, thank you, God. Some days I'll be like, that was you, God. But on the other end, sometimes I'll be like, God, where are you? God, where are you? You're not doing this with me. But the only constant in all of that, well, who was I running to? Who was I talking to?
Amen.
God.
Amen.
At the end of the day, I'm still talking to God.
That's, hey,
boy. That's that mean I got that relationship with him. Mm. At the end of the day, I'm still going to him. Yes, I might question him. Yes, got my days where I'm loving it, but it's still him.
Right.
Sure. Come on now.
Ooh, at the end of the day, it's still him. So that's what I learned tonight.
The blessing.
Great word, Jonathan. Great word, man. I love you, man. That was strong.
Try to get a night.
Yes. Dirty Bird, Mr. A-Time Stomp himself.
Hey, I got on late. Sorry about that again, guys. But I'm speechless, first of all, man. I'm speechless because it gave me a whole lot of insight with a whole lot of things that's going on. You know, I told you about Vaughn, and no sooner than I text you about Vaughn, I get an inbox from my uncle, and I'm like, why this one? And it's like you get a figure. I'm trying to get Vaughn straight. Now I got another one. They like 2 weeks. He's out of here. I'm like, you're kidding me, man. So it's like everything was like hitting me at one time, and so. Long story short, was talking to two of the young guys at work today, and they were like, I was talking to them about it. They were like, well, seem like you're in a good mood. I'm like, yeah, I'm always in a good mood. I'm not gonna let nothing, you know, mess up my day. And feeding off of what Brother Jonathan said, man, and that's what I told both of the young guys the day who I was talking to, man. I say, you know, rather you having a good day, rather you having a bad day, man. I said, no. I said, the best thing to look at it, man, guess what? You woke up with 2 blessings every morning, bro. I said, what's that? I said, you woke up with your eyes open. I said, because you know why? Somebody didn't open. I said, somebody's eyes is not open this morning, man.
Come on now.
So I told those guys that, and they were like, yeah, you're right, B, you're right. You're right. Well, OG, that's what they call me. You're right, OG, you're right. Mm-hmm. That was my take today, man, and it sort of got me in the right mind frame again tonight. So that was just like that's my confirmation, man, and I'm ready to hit the floor again tomorrow.
I'm ready to roll.
Amen. Amen.
Good job. Good job, Dirty Bird. Love you, man. Brother Rick.
Tonight was very, very inspirational, George. I had to give you credit for that. The things I take away from tonight more than anything is the unconditional love we all have for each other.
Yes. Yes.
And more importantly, how no matter what each and everybody goes through on a private level, that at the end of the day, we all know it's going to be all right because we got some strong prayer warriors on this Zoom call. And I can say that without a shadow of a doubt, with me having surgery Monday, I'm not worried about it. I know I'm going to be good. I'm going to try to be on a Zoom Tuesday, but I know I'm going to be good.
Amen.
And you know, that's just a small stepping stone because I know that God is working through me, and I know that something big is about to happen for me.
Right.
Like I said, I love each and every one of you guys. Don't stop being who you are and stay consistent.
Good job. Good Amen. Work. Good work, Rick. Love you, man. Love you. Brother Prentice.
Yeah. Thank you, Brother George, for the word tonight. Thank you guys for just putting it all out there again tonight. Laying it out, being an open book, and being humble about it, not trying to glorify self.
Right.
Sometimes we do things to try to glorify self, but you know, that's not what this is about.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Nobody's here to toot their own horn. We're here to help each other and see who we can help because of it. We use the tools that are being given to us now to share our testimony to where we are in life. I have great respect and love for these men on this call. And I appreciate each and every one of you for sharing your hearts. Let's go forth and continue with God.
Amen.
Amen, brother friend. Love you, man. Great job, Dave. Brother George.
Man, I just want to thank you, brothers, on the call tonight. I just want to thank God because this thing really hit me about do you only have faith in things you can't see? And I can remember how I'm just going to be honest. I was terrified and I got faith, but terrified when I got the news that I had the coronavirus. So it was at that point where, and that's why God had me speak on that, because do you only have faith when things are going good? That impacted my spirit and my man spirit so quick, because now I'm looking at the news, I'm looking at all these people dying, and the thing about this thing, you can't see it, you know, and the thing, you have to have total trust, blind faith in God, because how can someone be in their house and not go outside, but maybe go outside to get the mail and go back in their house and they have contracted the coronavirus? See, this thing is God is really putting us in a place that our faith will get tested. And I thank him, and I thank you, brothers, for your love and your prayers on tonight, because it truly, truly got tested. And I just want to thank God. I love you guys, and I thank God. And by the way, Pastor Glenn, thank you for your prayers, because when I preached that message, God really took control of me.
Amen.
I was totally emptied. And he just used me in such a way, and that God was using me. And it was so powerful that people, I didn't even whatever, because I know God is, I just totally surrendered. And I thank you for that prayer, because it Amen. Really, but what I want to tell you guys, that when I stand up to give the word, it's a piece of all of y'all that's with me. I stand.
Amen.
Y'all kept poured into me so that I can pour out to God's people.
Amen. Amen. That's
the power and magnitude of it.
Amen.
That when you said reach out and call, these brothers on this phone and on this call tonight have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in them through the power of God to help anybody. And I want to, oh man, I love y'all.
Love you.
Good job, Brother John. Great job tonight, man. That was excellent, man. The energy was really, really good tonight. So good job. Love you, bro. Brother Jerome.
You know what? What's really good about George's subject tonight, and then I don't even know if George hit on it, but I'm gonna try to touch it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Thomas was a disciple. Mm-hmm. Thomas was a disciple. Mm-hmm. And I think the message that we all can take from this, at some point in time throughout the disciples, they all struggle with something.
Right. Come on now.
There you go.
And they was right there with Jesus.
With him.
Yep, right. That's
right. Right there with Jesus. So what do that tell us about us, guys?
There you go. Hello.
You know, so what does that tell us about us? So,
right.
So if those guys right there with the man, uh-huh, and they can struggle, then you know we're going to struggle.
Amen. And
even though he was there for them, he's going to be there for us. So
that's
my biggest takeaway for today.
Persons, that's right. What
do you think? Good job, Brother Jay. Love you, man. Love you. Man, my takeaway
thank you, Lord.
Tonight is, Jesus, man, really the faithfulness of you guys.
Jesus.
To consistently and the faithfulness. Man, I hear you guys apologizing about coming late, logging on late. Like, man, the heart, it speaks to how much you love being on here and sharing the gospel and sharing your testimonies, right, and being a witness, man. So my takeaway, I'm sitting here and I can see the love and I can hear it, man. So just to be a part of that consistently every Tuesday, man. Man, I'm so grateful for it, man. And everybody on here done been through something this year that we done kind of had to rally. We done had to rally around, man. Hey, call, man, Rick need us. Hey, Todd needs us. Hey, Glenn needs us. Johnson needs us. And so, man, so to be a part of, as a guy, as a man, that's not something that most guys can say that they have. And so for me, man, it's more valuable than a black card. It's more valuable than anything that the world might puff up, man. You guys and your love for the Lord is just mind-blowing to me, and I'm so grateful to have each and every one of you. So, man, that's my takeaway, and I'm going to turn it over to Brother Glenn. Take us home, Glenn.
Mm-hmm. Man, I reiterate everything everyone has already said, man. The love and compassion and camaraderie that we share to one another. And to those that reach out, you know, privately, you know, that do see the Zoom and reach out, to understand that it's genuine. We don't play no games with God. Right. We're real about it and we're real with you. And George, I mean, man, to talk about, do you have faith even when you can't see it? We all gonna go through shaky ground.
Yes.
And Jerome just said it, even the disciples, they were with him. When the boat got rocked with the storm, they got scared. You know, whenever something came up, they feared. When he was on the cross, they ran. And so you got to look at to see that trouble's going to come. It's going to come. If you look, the 23rd Psalm says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
There's
a purpose for the rod and the staff. Mm-hmm. The rod has a hook on the end. So whenever the sheep's in trouble or they stray, Jesus used the rod to reach out and grab them and pull them in. And he takes the staff. I mean, and the staff is what has the hook. And then he takes the rod and he beats off the enemy with the rod. And pulls the sheep to safety. That's why the rod and staff bring comfort. That's why trials and tribulation brings comfort in our lives, that we can have comfort in tribulations when we go through some things. And when I look out, like Todd said, all of us have had an instance where we had to call on somebody in this group and say, man, I ain't got it today, and get lifted up and get held on to. And I know I have that. And not only Tuesday night, but any day of the week that I call, any hour that I give them a call, somebody is ready and willing and will ride if they got to. And that's the thing that I love about it. And to be a part of it, man, to see, watch what God is doing individually as well as collectively, is mind blowing. So I bless God for it. I just thank him for it right now. And I just give him all honor and praise for it. Now we go ahead and close out with prayer. Father God, it's in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for once again, Father, taking full control of this, your group, Father. Father, we take no glory from it, but give all glory, honor, and praise unto you. Father, we know that you're doing a new thing in this earth, God. And now, God, by your word, Father, you're manifesting. You said in your last day that you would pour out your spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see vision, and your old man shall dream dream. You left nothing and no one out, Father, according to your will and your way, Father, that we all have the opportunity to know who you are by simply experiencing you and putting ourselves down. We ask right now, Father, as we try to draw closer to you, Father, that you increase us in our faith, God, knowing that even when we can't see you, you're still there. David even made a confession that when I make my bed in hell, you are there. And if I ascend unto heaven, you are there. So we know, God, that no matter where we go, God, or how we turn, you are right there with us. Lord, we thank you for your power that you have poured out upon the flesh, God. And now we ask by your spirit that you continue to open up our understanding as we go forward. Father, anybody that's listening, that's going through anything, God, don't let them hesitate to reach out to you, Father, and guide them to where you want them to be. Father, if it's one of us, God, let us be open and obedient and ready, Father, and willing to give what thus saith the Lord. And Father, we seek no glory of ourselves. We give all glory unto you. It's in the righteous and matchless name of Jesus Christ we do pray. All in agreement say amen.
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 I'd like to say something. I don't know if the brothers can hear me. The knowledge and the wisdom that's going on through the group. And I work with Mr. Charles. I help him pressure wash houses. And he asked me to listen, and I do. And I just appreciate y'all. And
God bless you.
I appreciate all the love and the wisdom that I have learned from you guys. You know, just like our brother said, we all need somebody to lean on, and that's good to have that. I apologize if I'm being rude or if I'm not. You know, just I just wanted to talk, just to say that, you know, that I love.
We appreciate it, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you, bro. Mm-hmm. Thank you, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless.
Amen.
You good? Amen. You good, Brother Judd? Yeah, I guess you're good. Everybody, y'all have a good night, man. Have a great
have a blessed
week.
Night, brothers.
Next week is the round table. Invite somebody if you can. Don't know. Okay. You got to stay up all night. But if you run and interact with somebody, man, invite them on.
Jonathan. Uh-huh. I just heard this in my spirit. He will work it out. I know he will. He Amen. Will work it out. That's done, bro. That's done. He will work it out.
Ooh, Amen. Lord,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you, bro. Y'all be blessed.
Love y'all. Right,
man.
Thank
love y'all,
you.
Man. Y'all be good. Have a blessed week.
All right, all right. Bro. Later. Bro.
All right, Rick.
All right. Good job, night, George. Good job.
All right. To God be the glory.